So the next segment is... Ta-da. Well, oh, someone's been messing with the... Who's been sitting on my remote? Okay, so this is the Center Update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what goes on behind the scenes, things that aren't apparent by just coming here on Sundays. And so as I mentioned, I was in Hawaii this last week, and I was there presenting information to the International Ministry Program in the Pacific Rim of our association to 10 ministerial students, basically just telling them what we're doing here and giving them some excitement and how to start the ministry and start off healthy. And so I just want to let you know that when I'm gone or when Jane's gone, it's because we're working our other job. So each of us are part-time here. We're only half-time. So sometimes it's important to make sure that you know that neither one of us is full-time. So that means we make up the rest of the funds that we need, like airplane parts and, you know, travel, enough to get Jane to the Canada and back, things like that, doing other things. And so when one of us is gone, that's what typically is happening. But we always love getting back. I'm so glad to be back to sanity. And anyway, so and also I just wanted to mention that I shared the Mind movie last week, and I asked for support in raising funds for our production team. Our plan is to create a Mind movie for everyone who wants one. And that effort resulted in over $2,500, 25 individual $100 contributions that last week. That is awesome. And if you have not seen the Mind movie, it's posted on my Facebook page, or you can go to drgarysimmons.com on my blog, and you'll find it there as well. And we're open to receive more support for our production team. So if you're so inspired to provide us with a $100 contribution, we'll make sure someone gets trained so that more people can be involved in getting their own Mind movie. But that's after you purchase your ticket for the Bill Burdon Bernard show. Above and beyond that, make that perfectly clear. We're going to be having our membership, community membership meeting. So for those of you who are already members of Unity Spiritual Center, this is... you're welcome to come and see what I say to new folks. But if you're new to Unity, do, as Dennis said, engage yourself. Just find out what it's all about. That's the easiest way, and it's very, very easy. It'll only be about a half hour long after lunch, so do that. We're in the process of introducing a new segment. We have the Center Update, and we've introduced Life Hacks. And we're going to phase in another aspect in this time slot called the Unity Spiritual Center Board Update. And so today, our board chair and president, Charlie Carr, is going to come up and give us some information about how our board is functioning these days. Charlie.
Thank you, Gary. Well, it dawned on me as I was preparing for this, well, actually as it came down to me as I was preparing for this, there's an eighth principle. And in our meetings, we've been working very, very hard on this eighth principle. And it takes a lot of effort, a lot of thinking, a lot of dedication. And what that is every year we have to plan for our board and staff Christmas party. And so it's very important that that eighth principle is to party, right? So always have fun. Sometimes in our board meetings, it's not always fun. Because what we bring to the board meeting is ourselves. And as many of you have gone through the Q process, you've developed your own shadow card, your shadow qualities, as well as who you've come here to be. So last year, the board put together our own shadow cards and who we've come here to be. And it's interesting. We go through at the beginning of every meeting, and individually we share our own. But this also hangs up in the room where we're having the meeting. And I just want to share that the part about who we have, this is who we are not, our sense of being fearful, not enough, distrusting, a victim, not important, or powerless. And, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that these do show up in our meetings. They absolutely do. But what's wonderful about it is when we realize that, we get to show up on the other side as well, because who we've all really come here to be when we're in our board meetings is being an integrity, compassionate, transformational, empowered, emotionally and spiritually mature, and generous. This hangs in the room, and not once have we ever had to flip it over to this side of the shadow card. The other thing just quickly that I want to share is last year we also made it a big emphasis of developing our core values of what we as the board wanted to show up out here. And I'm just going to go over those qualities or those core values, and I'm not going to read the definitions, but I just want to give you what they are. Integrity, commitment, emotional maturity, spiritual maturity, accountability, and fiscal responsibility. You know, it's an honor to be able to serve on the board. I'm into my sixth year already. It's gone by really fast. Wow. If you'd like to know more, our board meetings are absolutely open. The only time that they're not is if we have an executive session when we're voting on something. But actually, the next one is tomorrow night, 5:45. So if you're ever curious about what goes on, this February, I'm not up for re-election. But anyway, if you want to know more about what we do, please join us. Thank you.
So as we begin our meditation time, let us begin with establishing a rhythmic pattern of breathing. So just breathe in and out for the same duration. And as you deepen in your awareness of your breath, let us begin to create that deeper connection to the dimension of ourselves that is infinite and eternal. And so bring into your awareness someone or something that you appreciate. It could be a family member, a life partner, a special friend, a fond memory, or even a beloved pet. Just whatever carries with it the felt sense of appreciation, gratitude. Just allow those feelings begin to flow through your body, blessing all that you are, every cell, every organ, all of the body systems. Let us allow that heart-centered feeling to just simply be a part of our body-mind. And as you feel the fullness of this appreciation, this gratitude, just allow it to be extended beyond your physical self, so that together we create in this space, this energetic field of heart-centered coherence. Today's message is about becoming what we love. And so this meditation time gives us a chance to go into a place of preparation, of opening that portal, that connection to that part of ourself that is the presence, the expression of love. To know that love is the truth of who we are and what we've come here to be. It's more than words or a concept. We need to create that felt sense that we are this love, so that it can seek and discover the ways in which it can be expressed through us. And so one of the ways in which we can really deepen into that felt sense of the truth of us as love. It's just to imagine for this moment our younger self just right before us. So go back in time, just imagine your younger self with his or her arms stretched out in front of you. And go ahead, pick up your younger self and hold it heart to heart, tight. Just allow yourself to express this love to that part of you that may not know the fullness of who and what you have come here to be. And allow that picture of your younger self to simply to dissolve into your heart. So there's a feeling of connection, of oneness. No sense of separation. And in this love, we know our more than enoughness. We know who we've come here to be. We know that we make the difference. And so let us go into this awareness of this love, the connection that we have to all that we are in the silence. So breathe in and release. And as we begin to make our way back to this moment, this place, we carry with us that deep connection to our own sense of wholeness, remembering the love that we are, the love that we're here to express. And so we give thanks for this connection. And for the difference that it makes as we are called to be the one unto our world, to make a difference, and for that which unfolds in this activity of God's love living itself through us, in us, and as us, we are grateful. Thank you, God. So it is.
Take a deep breath. And I have to follow that. Thank you. That was just spectacular. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Spiritual Center. This morning is a second talk in a series of four talks based on the book by Dr. Robert Mueller, How Then Shall We Live? Four Questions That Reveal the Beauty and Meaning of Our Lives. Fabulous book. We have some in our bookstore. How Then Shall We Live? Is really about bringing forth what it is we want to see more of in our life. You know, how do we do that? How do we create the life that we want to live? And the first week, we looked at the first question, which is, who am I? Who am I? We explored the roles, the labels that we may have taken on that have really been obscuring our authentic self, keeping it hidden. Because part of this process is identifying those things, identifying those limiting beliefs, those limiting identities that we have taken on since we were at a young age, and releasing those, finding a way to let them go so that we can grow into who we've come here to be. Because until we do that, we are creating out of who we are not. See the difference? Instead of out of who we've come here to be. We're always creating. It's just part of what we do, and it's part of who we are as spiritual beings in the physical manifestation. But what are we creating from? That's the big question. So the important first step in this creative process is what we might think of as preparing the soil, clearing the rocks and the twigs and the weeds out of the way, eliminating whatever is in the way of producing healthy growth. And while it's essential to prepare the soil, it's certainly not the only thing we have to do, because that won't bring forth a harvest, just doing that. We also have to plant the seeds. It's important to do that. And to ask ourselves, what seeds do we want to plant in our life? What seeds are going to bring forth a harvest of something that we want? And in order to help us get clear on this, we want to ask the second question, what do you love? What do you love? And just like the first question, it seems like a simplistic one, and yet it can take us to the depths. It has the potential of helping us to dig deeper and deeper within ourselves and to discover this greater dimension of who we really are. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't sound exciting. All right. But the question, what do you love, is kind of an ambiguous one, because I might answer, I love popcorn, or I love my husband, or I love to write. And so when we consider that, what I'm really sharing, if I say I love popcorn, is one of my preferences, or in my case, an addiction. When I say I love my husband, what I'm talking about is the connection and the bond that we have in our relationship. When I say that I love writing, I'm getting connected to this passion that I have. And so instead of just asking, what do I love, here's the question we want to ask. What awakens the spiritual fire within you? Isn't that a good question?
Yeah.
What awakens your spiritual fire? What ignites that fire? When do you feel the most alive? And it's through the heart that we find out what that is. That's the heart gives the answer. Today's talk is called Becoming What You Love. Really, let that sink in for a minute. Becoming what you love. Can you get a feel for that? Scripture says it this way: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Words attributed to Jesus. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what is your treasure? Where is your heart? What do you love? When I was in ministerial school, one of our instructors was fond of saying, if you want to know what you love, if you want to know what you value, look at your calendar, your day planner, and your checkbook. So these days we might say, check your Google calendar and your credit card bill. Whatever it is, the point being that where you spend your time, spend your money, it indicates what you value in your life. So where do you focus your attention? Where do you focus your attention? And is it where you really want to offer the gift of your life? Because discerning what it is we love is such a nourishing practice, because here's the thing, how we spend our time becomes our life. Do you see that? We're trading part of our life for what we are immersed in. So where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And when we encounter those things that we truly love, we come to life. We feel our aliveness. Do you know what I mean by this? The Trappist monk, Thomas Keating, describes who we truly are as this: localized vibrations of the infinite goodness of God's presence. Isn't that cool? I'm going to introduce myself that way sometime to somebody. How do you do? I'm a localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God's presence. How about you? And you know, love is our true nature. It's our very nature. It's what we are. It's who we are. And when we do what we love over and over again, our lives become shaped by it. We awaken to a deeper dimension within ourselves. And it's through this portal, this ever-present access to infinite intelligence. And love is the key. Love is the key that opens that door. Last week, Gary explored the power of combining visualization and elevated emotion in bringing forth what we want to create in our life. And he shared his powerful mind movie with everyone that was here. When we discover what we truly love, that can be our touchstone for creating a life of vision and purpose. And letting love be our guide leads us on a healing journey. Dr. Mueller shares the story of a woman who grew up in an alcoholic home, was always on the alert as to what might go wrong in her world. And as an adult, she continued with this kind of behavior, always compulsively trying to control things, always trying to make sure everyone was safe, everyone was taken care of. And she was totally exhausted from living her life this way, and she wanted to change. She also had another side to herself that was very creative, very playful. But she was so rigidly bound to these childhood patterns that she could rarely bring out that side until she started taking classes on watercolor painting. And she discovered something. She discovered that when she was painting, she felt a joy and a happiness within her body that she'd never experienced before. This was new to her. And the more she painted, the more she shifted her awareness. And now looking at life, she saw it in a different way. Instead of seeing it through the lens of an unsafe child, a fearful world, she started looking through the eyes of a painter. She started to see color and texture and shapes and lines, things that she had missed before. And she began to uncover a beauty that was always there but was hidden from her perception. And it was in discovering what she loved and immersing herself in it that she was able to make that shift. Her whole world was shifted. Her whole experience of life was shifted. Thornton Wilder said, "We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures." See, it's not enough just to have these treasures within us. We all have that, the imprisoned splendor. It's becoming conscious of it, sharing it with the world. That's when it happens, you see. And life, living this life immersed in what we love, brings forth a vibrancy of life that brightens the world. It really does. So, what stirs your soul? What is it for you? What brings forth your aliveness? What are you grateful for in your life? What is that for you? Tomorrow is the Canadian Thanksgiving. So, I'm always in a place of gratitude during this time. So what is it you're grateful for in your life? And how can you immerse yourself in more of it, really? If you were to create your mind movie, what would you include? And it's your heart that can give you this answer. You know, mind movies are not just about getting lots of things. It's okay to have things, unless they have us. You know what I'm talking about here? Because if life is just about acquiring things, we spend all of our time thinking that the next thing is going to be what brings us our happiness. But just imagine this with me. Imagine you have a beautiful home. It's your dream home. And it's all paid for. And you have a brand new car in the garage, your dream car, brand new, ready to go, full tank of gas. Your body is fit and trim. You're youthful. You're an athlete. You're intelligent. You're kind. You're compassionate. You are talented. You have the perfect life. Are you with me? There's only one problem. You're the only person on planet Earth. Now, do you feel there's a bit of a wet blanket on that now? Kind of takes the fun out of it? Because what's missing from our perfect life is connection, relationship, love. As babies, part of our brain development relies on that relationship. It's how we grow into who we are. So it's fine to have those things. We just want to understand that our well-being is not dependent upon them. Do you see the difference? Sometimes what we love is an identity that we've taken on. We can love that. And the same thing applies. If our well-being and worth is contingent upon that identity, upon what we do, then what happens if it's a job, for instance, we lose that job? What happens? It can be a very painful time for us. Dr. Mueller tells the story of a woman who loved being a mom, loved it, was dedicated her life to taking care of her boys, making sure they were always safe and always healthy, and it was just a life that she loved. And then her younger son had a horrendous accident while mowing the lawn and ended up losing one of his hands. And besides worrying about her son's recovery, this woman was devastated, felt like a failure as a mom. She hadn't been able to keep her son safe. Letting go of the identity for her of perfect mom was a painful experience for her. And that's not to say we can't love being a mom or a spouse or grandparent, whatever it is. It's when our well-being and worth is tied up in it that the problem happens. Because the truth is, you know, people leave our life. Our children grow up and move. People pass away or leave. And if we find ourselves invested in an identity that no longer exists, do you see how that could be a problem? Now, this mom happened to go to a 10-day silent retreat as part of her healing process. She discovered an inner spaciousness within herself that she had never felt before. And in the quiet, she got the guidance, the insight that she had to fuel her passion. That's what came forth. She needed to fuel her passion, which happened to be teaching art. And she found a way to use that passion to mobilize an entire community to feed the hungry. Beautiful story. And her heart widened as she enlarged her sphere of compassion and expressed what she loved. And when we love something that deeply, we feel the truth of it. We touch its deeper nature. Love breaks it open, reveals what's within it. And that is the power of spirit. The Franciscan priest Richard Rohr describes God as a synonym for everything. And he points out that we can only know God through love. Not through theological debate, or not through reading the books, through feeling it, feeling the love. It's all about feeling the love and the spaciousness within our hearts and connecting to that deeper source within. So as we go about doing this, as we look at how do we create the world that we want, we don't just want to do things like repeat meaningless affirmations that don't connect emotionally. That won't work. Nothing will change if we do that. The potential, the powerhouse comes from feeling it, from feeling the love in our hearts, from feeling joyful, from feeling inspired, excited. That's what moves it forward. Simple but powerful. And that's how we elevate the emotion in the creative process, by immersing ourselves in what we love, because fear evaporates as we find ourselves in that place. 1 John 4, perfect love casts out fear. That's what happens. When we follow what we love and connect with the spaciousness within our heart, fear dissolves and we discover there's peace underneath it all. We get there. We find it. There was a young woman who was born prematurely and as a newborn spent much time in an incubator. And due to a failed oxygen supply, she lost her hearing and was totally hearing impaired by the age of 8 months. But as she grew, she learned to read lips with amazing accuracy. And she spoke very clearly, despite having been unable to hear virtually her whole life. And when Dr. Mueller asked this woman what it was that she loved, she said, language. She said, I love words. Especially, she said, French words, because I love how they feel coming out of my mouth. And then she thought again and she said, you know, and I love breathing. Because she had such trouble breathing as a child, she considered each breath a beautiful gift and she was grateful for every single one. Now imagine being so inspired by life that you are grateful for every breath that you take. Imagine loving every moment of your life. Do you feel the radical freedom in that? Really? Walt Whitman tells us to dismiss what insults our soul. I love that. Listen to your heart. See where life is steering you. And use love as your guide. Use flow as an indicator. Alan Cohen notes, if struggle led to happiness, we'd all be in ecstasy. That isn't to say that we don't have perseverance or that we don't make the effort, but a labor of love ceases to be labor. And people who love deeply are inspiring, aren't they? I once took a tour of some canyons in the Palm Springs area, and I was lucky enough to have a tour guide who absolutely loved those canyons. There was no doubt. He kept all of us on this tour enthralled with his inspired, poetic description of the whole experience. And so he pointed out to us how the shadows danced on the canyon walls and how the colors shifted the way the sun was hitting them, and showed us the magic and the majesty of all the rock formations. You could feel the profound love that this man had for his surroundings. And it touched me really deeply. His tour was not a job for him. It was a joyful immersion in what he loved. And he got to do that every single day. When my son was starting the first grade, I was moved to tears when I met his teacher. Her obvious love of children permeated her classroom, and I saw him and the whole class blossom that year like I had never seen before, and it showed me the extraordinary power of love, and I felt such immense gratitude for her, I still do, that she had followed her heart and found a way to share her passion in a manner that blessed so many others. And, you know, she moved away before my daughter had a chance to have her. And I have to tell you how much I grieved. Her last day there, we stood in each other's arms sobbing, saying goodbye to her. We have some neighbors on our jogging route whose backyard is a magnificent garden. Flowers of every color, size, shape, scent. Amazing. Rock gardens, fountains, And we get to run by it every day. And whenever I do, I pause and take in the beauty of it and give thanks for their love of their garden. You can tell they just love tending this garden. And you know what else? I see it in this community over and over and over again. As people stand up, show up, and share their gifts, share what they love with this community, bringing spirit into expression. That's what you're doing, showing up here this morning. You're bringing spirit into expression at Unity Spiritual Center. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Really? Can you feel it? So here's the thing we want to remember. God is love, and it's love that sustains us, lifts us, carries us, raises our vibrational frequency. It's the greater power within that guides us. And the key to having it come forth is to become what you love. That's the key. So what is that for you? What is it for you? What calls forth the spiritual fire within you? What awakens your soul force? The author Danielle Laporte writes this: stop trying to be good at what makes you feel bad. Very good counsel. How many moments of your day are spent in gratitude? And how many in struggle and irritation? If we have a belief that life is hard or unfair, or that we can't be happy without this, then that is exactly what our experience is going to be. You know, and sometimes love can be tinged with sadness, certainly. If a loved one is passed on, we can feel that. But they're not mutually exclusive. It's possible to feel love and sadness, and it can bring forth a tenderness and a compassion that opens our heart even wider. We're here to be that compassionate presence for each other and with each other if we let love lead. So take your time to ask your heart the question, what do I truly love? From Gary's Mind movie, you caught a glimpse of some of the things he loves and wants to see more of in his life. Family, travel, flying, and enough income to make it all happen, to bring it into expression. But what you might have missed is what all this represents. You see, freedom, connection, creativity. He loves flying his airplane, but I'll tell you, he equally loves building his airplane, that creative impulse. So as you consider what it is you love, look for the underlying meaning of what it represents for you. So here are some questions to consider. Where does your attention go? Take a look at your day planner and your credit card bill. Where do you put your attention? Where does your time go? And are you spending your life immersed in what you love? Think of a person whose love for what they do inspires you. Consider who that is. See how what they do opens your heart. And ask your heart, if you were to make a mind movie, what's one thing that would be in it? Love is the glue that brings us together. Finding what you love, sharing it with the world, is the best gift you can give to the planet. God bless.